I was given this word when I was sitting at my computer at work, when Pastor Colin asked me to do this morning. I had another idea in mind. And so I'm sitting at the computer doing work, and it's quiet, and all of a sudden the Lord just downloads a vision, downloads a picture of what he wants you to see this morning. And we're going to get right into the Word of God first, and then we'll go into the journey. The verses are in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And Matthew here says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's speaking of Jesus' words. These are red-letter words. And Jesus is saying, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The world, in my experience, people outside of the Lord Jesus Christ are fraught with burdens. They are overloaded with them. There are spiritual burdens. There are intellectual burdens, mental burdens. There are emotional burdens. You name it. We could spend this whole day, probably this whole week, listing burdens that we have experienced or that we know people have experienced. There's enough burdens to fill this whole sermon with just one person's, and you just multiply that by everybody here, and it would fill all time. There are burdens on everything that goes on in our lives, and particularly outside of Christ, the enemy just wants to impact that more so. He wants to multiply it, and he wants to make that the focus in our lives. Outside of Christ, the burdens we have are supposed to be the focus in our lives. And as you talk with people, as you minister with people, as you counsel with people, the burdens that they experience tend to become owned. They take ownership of them very easily. And they say, "I am this," or "I have this." And they take ownership of the burden, and Satan just says, "Right on, it's yours." There are studies, when I was working in the medical field, there were studies going on in the secular medical field while I was doing some studies on the power of the word. And I got together with a nurse one time, we were discussing things, and she said, "Wow, there was a study in Saskatchewan where they were studying autoimmune diseases. And one of the cases was a father and daughter scenario. And the daughter started showing, so she was only a teenager, late teens, and she started showing signs of MS. And the father freaked out. The father just went ballistic. And every day, and this is going to sound like a joke, it is, every day he would compound her disease that they believed she had, would compound it every day by saying, "I'd give my right arm if you didn't have this disease. I'd give my right arm if you didn't have MS. And it just confirmed in her that she had it, and her body went into full-blown symptoms. For 2 years, she suffered in this case study. At the end of that case study, the father got into a car accident and lost his right arm, and the disease went away. What the nurse was telling me of the science of that was the mind has the ability to make your body manifest what you believe it can manifest, including diseases, and particularly autoimmune system diseases. So the burden that the father had afflicted the daughter. So there's many burdens. Oftentimes, the people who do not know the Lord, have the disadvantage of trying to do something else to soothe the burden or to ease the burden. They get involved in drugs. Drugs is an often one. Alcohol. They'll use alcohol to drown out the stress or the pain or the onslaught of that burden in life. They'll go into drugs. They'll use sex is another one. They'll distract themselves with sexual activity that just does not provide any kind of fulfillment to dealing with the burdens. We get busy. We'll delve ourselves into work so that there's nothing distracting us, so that we don't have to deal with the burden. So because if we don't see the burden or we don't recognize the burden, it'll go away or it's not there. Oftentimes, because we take ownership of these burdens, we get discouraged. We get dissatisfied with life, and we keep moving on to things to change the scenario, but always keep bringing the burdens with us. This is a fresh sermon. Please bear with me. I'm depending on the Lord greatly for remembering what he's dropped on me. Most people, when fraught with burdens outside the Lord, are living lives of what they call quiet desperation. They don't know what to do about them. They don't know where to go for them or to have help with them. There are some counseling that goes on, but oftentimes that's stigmatic, where people are ashamed to go find counseling. And oftentimes, as I've learned in my experience in many churches I've been in, people who come to know the Lord with these burdens often come to know the Lord on one of them. There's one burden that's messed up their lives enough so that they're desperate and they need somebody to help. And somebody decides to introduce them to Jesus Christ. And they come to Jesus and they come to him on the basis of that one burden because they're broken. That's the pinnacle. And they come to Jesus in a broken state and receive him and receive, at times, freedom from that burden that they deal with. In my experience, in the churches I've been involved in, there is a whole lot of baggage that comes with us when we come to know the Lord. Because we may have only dealt with him on that one burden that was a breaking point for us, we haul in all the others with us. And I liked what I heard a pastor say, Pastor Colin has repeated it many times, I do not know the pastor's name. He said, if we could keep the new believer out of church for, I believe it was 6 months, they would be better off in the end. Because in that 6 months, with a healthy ministry, you could teach the believer, the new believer, about things that can change, about the baggage that's brought in, to deal with the baggage that's brought in. Because as you bring that baggage in, it colors things that you do in your Christian believer's life. Somewhere along the lines, in the preaching that the new believer hears, he'll come across the message of the yoke. My burden's easy. Or my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And part of the picture, I couldn't find a real yoke. It might have been a little more cumbersome anyway. So I need some qualification. This yoke, it's light, easy, it'd be easy. It's not going to add to the burden. No. So oftentimes they get introduced to this message about the yoke. And I'm going to call on my brother Dennis to come be a partner here. Dennis is a brother in arms I really enjoyed his presence in Kenya and our dealing together. Dennis is going to represent Jesus. Okay? And I'm coming into this new life in Christ with a lot of baggage. And I come across the idea, I've been presented the idea through messages or through the sermons of preachers I've heard about the yoke. And I decide it's a good idea. It's a good idea to take this concept. So, I administer the yoke. Okay, I'll get you to stand over this way. So, not a passion statement for sure. A little cumbersome. So this yoke, you know, studies show that a man who can lift 75 kilograms, 1 meter in the air, in 1 second, equals 1 horsepower. So physically, we might not be able to pull the walls down, but we could move some stuff in here together. The thing with the yoke in the Christian, in the Bible's illustration of it, is that it's not another human standing beside me. And oftentimes, because of the baggage, we don't realize who this is. We don't recognize who this is. And oftentimes, we'll come into this new life, and we'll bring the baggage in, and we'll bring attitudes in, and we'll bring mentalities in, we'll bring pride in, we'll bring status in. And oftentimes, when Jesus continues to move forward, that's the thing about life in Christ. We can short-circuit things and slow things down, but he's always moving forward. And I will be presented with something to do under the yoke, right? And I'll say, I'm unworthy for that. And this is not the way the yoke works. I'm unworthy to do that. They're asking me to do something. I'm afraid to do that. I can't stand up and talk. I can't stand up and share. I can't. I'm afraid. I can't.
Can.
I don't want to do that. Pride will come in. I don't want to do that. It's beneath me. I do not want to do that.
Can.
All the baggage is bigger than the voice of my Lord. All the stuff I've brought in with this yoke is bigger than the voice of the Lord. And then it can go the other way. I can get in there and I can put on this yoke and I will get gung-ho. And I'll get involved in everything. Hey, I'm gonna get involved in Vacation Bible School. And I'm gonna get involved in the kids ministry. And I'm gonna get involved in all these things. And every time I come around, the Lord is mentioning my name, trying to get my attention. I'm gonna get involved in church ministries. I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to go to Africa. I'm going to go to Africa.
No.
And the Lord catches me and he stops me. And my busyness is so important. But I still haven't been listening to the Lord. But you say, preacher, you're doing things for God. You're doing, and I'm saying to the Lord in that stop when he stops, he says, Lord, can't you see I'm doing work for you? Totally ignoring the fact that I just heard the word of the Lord in my heart. So this isn't right. This structure isn't right. It's not providing fulfillment. It's not providing joy. It's not providing any kind of glory for my Lord. He's beside me because I believed in him. but I've created the yoke. And oftentimes, in the past, in my own testimony, in my own experiences, I've had this on. And because of the discouragement, and because of the unfulfillment, and because of all that, I leave. I stepped away from church. I stepped away from Jesus. I figured, oh, I can do things on my own since this isn't working. Fact is, I still brought the yoke with me. Because the yoke I walked away with is the same yoke I walked in with. And the Lord pricking my heart, convicting me of what I've made this, brings me to Him. And I kneel before my Lord and I say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for what I've made this. This is not good. This is not for me. This can't be for you. I remove this and I cast it off. And I seek your restoration. I seek a new heart. I seek a new mind. Forgive me, Jesus, and make this change, create a shift. And in his power, he lifts me up. And when I was sitting at my desk, the vision of the yoke he showed me was this one. This is the yoke. And I found it really interesting. Another embrace. The message I had before, I embraced the good, good Father. This time I'm embracing my Lord. The English in the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, the English uses the word believe. And sometimes it lacks in fullness of explanation. Abraham, when he was presented the promises of God, believed them, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. The Hebrew says, the word believe, is to trust in, cling to, embrace all those things. Is what believe is. And my arm around him isn't a function of my works. It's an outward manifestation of an inward state, spiritual state. I'm believing in my Lord, so I'm going to cling to him and I'm going to embrace him. He puts his arm around me and says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He puts his arm around me and says, for as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Believe again. I'm in his care. He says, you are mine. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So it has no bearing on me qualifying outside of believing to have his hand on my life forever. And this relationship now, the believing, speaks of intimacy. And this is going on all the time. And in that swirling around with the other yoke, which wasn't working, the blessings were right there. The blessings I could experience were right there. But as we know in Scripture, lack of faith can hinder God doing work in your life. He couldn't do miracles in his own hometown because of their lack of faith. So the blessings are right there. And he walks with me. Let's move this way. He walks with me. And he brings me, finally, I'm finally in a state of mind and state of heart where I can receive a revelation from the Lord of who I am. And the gift is right there. And inside, excuse me just a moment. Inside is, I believe, one of the most important gifts. And oftentimes, as we know, we have an abundant God, an abundant provider. The gift is often bigger than the package. And that's the first thing. I thank the Lord for solid rock. I do. Because I came in a state of heart that was not healthy. And although I knew this, I didn't have it grounded. And I praise God for solid rock because you have been a church that has helped me get this grounded. That I have a secure identity. And it's based in this yoke. Some verses. I mentioned one already. For as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Galatians 4:6, that was John 1:12-13. Galatians 4:6, and because ye are sons, God has set forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The intimacy is in his hands. Am I receiving it? He's the one who pursued me. He's the one who had all the plan ready because he wanted me to be son. I'm joint heirs with this man here, with Jesus, my Savior. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Ephesians 1:5-6 brings out that we are accepted in the Beloved. And in the Message version of the Bible, here's what it says. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down the earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Amen. I am secure because I'm in his hands and he'll never let me go. As we journey on in our Christian life and Jesus is teaching me and I'm thanking him, thank you for this sonship, thank you for these blessings, thank you for teaching me. Sometimes the journey is a little long because in that journey, after knowing who you're believing, knowing who you are in Christ, you start learning how to pray. You start learning how to pray effectively. And oftentimes, because we still deal with the flesh, we still deal with that old man, he kind of jumps up sometimes and tries to get us to be impatient and chomping on the bit for things. For God, God, you know, it'd be better timing another way. It would. And sometimes we get blue, down, depressed about it. He's right here with us, and he, because of this, if we're believing and trusting in and clinging to and embracing Jesus, then the depression and the discouragement can be, we can react to it differently. And we can come to the point of the next blessing. And again, He's a God of abundance. He didn't create things on short budget. Promised provision. He promises it. He knows what we need before we even ask. I believe there's scripture that backs that up. Matthew 6:8. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. We don't have to worry about our provision. We have to be faithful, believing. That's the key, the believing, the clinging to that we have a faithful God, remembering that He's done so much stuff before, and it's so easy for us in the flesh to forget. He did this, He did this, He did this. Miracles that have happened in my life. My heart was restored, number one. He just provides a way to get right with Him. He provides a way. He can work with anything. He can. He can work with a man who, knowing he was in relationship with Jesus, but still wearing the old yoke, the unhealthy man said, in essence, said the wrong words. I prayed for the Lord. I just revealed to Him in one part of my life when things were tough. I said, Lord, you know what? I'm just going and doing this. This is who I am now. I took ownership of unhealth. This is who I am. This is the way I'm going. And in that, I'll give the credit to the Holy Spirit. In that statement, I'm going this way, you know, and whatever happens, happens. But if you can find some way to bless me in this, Lord, I'd appreciate it. What kind of way is a man who's going to go out and be promiscuous and doing his own thing and living his own life and in pride and everything would make sense to ask for the Lord to bless him? I was taking a course at being an enemy of God. And I asked for a blessing. And the Holy Spirit said, I've got something to work with. There's a chink in His false armor. I've got something to work with. It was interesting when I admitted that to the Lord at the end of that statement, because I was honest with Him, and probably honest with Him for maybe the first time in my entire life, I was honest with God. And He said, now I can work with Him. Now He knows exactly where He is and where I'm going to bring Him. And let's see where it happens. It's happened here. I'm here at this spot, at this moment, because God did works to move me and shift me and change me to a place where I can say I'm doing things for His glory. And that's it. In Philippians 4:19, probably a very familiar verse, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. John 16:23-24, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. I have had miraculous things. Finance tends to be a particular one. I was in deep debt, and things were down, and things would look like there was no hope for an end, and that I'd be struggling with debt for the rest of my life. And He has put money in my bank account. He has put money in my wallet. He has taken an opportunity, a channel, to move a small investment, if we'll call it that. And I didn't even have the money for it. The Lord provided the bank for it. He provided people to come in and say, here, we want to invest in what you do. And turn that into an avenue to become out of debt. And I praise God for that. I give him all the credit for it. He's made me, he's caused me to do unusual things in front of my computer when I'm asking him to bless my business. And he says, put your hand on the computer screen and declare and dispatch angels to corral customers to your site. I have people all over the world coming to my site. Miraculous. Prosperity comes from prospering the soul first. John declares that. He prospers you as he will prosper in your soul, and you let him do the work. Promised provision. He doesn't fail in it. We just have to be patient sometimes and definitely believing. When that happens, oftentimes reinforcements come and we learn that changes in our life can happen quicker. We can let the Lord do quicker works in growing us. We're told in the verse in Matthew, learn of me. Many of the disciples in their letters talked about growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you have affirmation of a secure identity and you know God is providing for you, changes start happening quicker in your life. The next blessing comes again abundantly. Empowered dominion. We are children born by the Holy Spirit, born again by the Holy Spirit, into a family that has much authority, and the church has not recognized or had allowed that revelation to fall upon them. We are worshiping the King of Kings. We are believing in the King of Kings. This yoke we have is with the King of Kings. The small kings in that statement is you and I. We're the front line. We're the little kings. And the thing is, when you employ your dominion, what we need to do is submit to the Lord with it. Because in that dominion I have in Christ, in this renewal, I could take my dominion and abuse it. I could do things and say, man, this is a good advantage. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. But he wants our dominion submitted to his sovereignty so that the verses, like what we call the Lord's Prayer, actually the Disciples' Guide Prayer, that prayer is the management of our dominion under the sovereignty of God to bring his kingdom to earth. We're translating God's power, God's kingdom, God's work on this planet, because we're the ones ambassadoring it. We're the ones, kings employing it. We're the ones who have the dominion of changing things in this world. The dominion was never designed to be over people, but to be over all creation. And so, he says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified, sorry, I'm going to back up a little bit here. I heard a preacher recently say that the believer deals with three enemies: Satan, the world, and the flesh. And he mentioned that the flesh is the worst enemy. because the flesh is the key to the advantage of the others. If we let things happen in the flesh and we do things in the flesh, we open ourselves up to demonic attack and world oppression. And so to counter that, to counter us living a life that is messed up by the world, trying to live a life in Christ that's messed up by the world, we need to counter it with the authority that we have, the dominion that we have. First, to put down the flesh, to make sure that it comes under the authority of Jesus Christ. Paul says in Galatians, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul mentioned in another verse, I die daily. He's getting the things of this world out of the way and not giving the enemy any advantage. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, he says, I protest by your rejoicing that I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Then to the enemy, we are coming against an enemy who hates us, who does not want us to succeed, who does not want us to have an intimate relationship with Jesus. He wants to make sure things get in between. He wants to make sure that we don't understand who he is, and he wants us to not understand who we are. And he says, ye are of God, little children. Ye have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In Ephesians, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. And the key to our dominion working victoriously and powerfully in this world, in our lives in Christ, comes from James. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's all key here. This yoke. This yoke is the key to developing all these things, to receiving the revelation of all these things, to employing all these things in our lives so that we glorify Jesus Christ and we actually have a fulfilling, joy-filled life. Joy has been lacking in my life as I look over my past. And it's just in recent years that I've actually allowed the revelation of that joy to come in and set deep, so that it gives me the strength to believe this. Because to the world, if you counsel with the world, this is fantasy. Right? This is just hogwash. But those of you who believe, and those of you who have grown in this, and grown in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, know that believing in Jesus Christ is not. It's real stuff. It works. It helps. And as we move on, as we grow in these things, we can become influencing leaders. Because the message of Matthew was come unto me, learn of me. And when you do, you gain all this. And in our commission as believers, the commission is to go. The green light is to go into the world, so that the message of the yoke is come unto me. It comes right around in full circle. Now, you may be in all different areas in this, all different levels of this journey, but it always comes full circle that you need to come to Christ. You need to come and get into this yoke, not ones you fashion or make, that have no fulfillment and no real meaning. It's vanity, really. But this isn't. This is a relationship with the Most High God, who says, I'm his friend, who says, I'm his brother, I'm a joint heir with Christ, who says, I'm a son, all because it's in his hands. And we come out, and by being an influencing leader, we can go out and share the same message that happened to us to somebody who doesn't know Jesus and say, come, and he can take care of the burdens. There's the thing we need to start telling new believers. He takes care of everything. Let's sit down and talk. Let's minister. Let's let the Lord do some work here. Solid Rock has been a good church for that. And I'm thankful for it. You have been influencing leaders, and you've helped me grow, and you help others grow. I've seen it. I've watched it over the years. God, help me stay here, because he told me one time when I was a little discouraged and not sure what I should be doing and questioning things, and I said, God, why am I here? And he said, you're God's man sitting in that chair for this time, for this moment, right now. Because he knew I needed what you had to offer as you are this man. You are Jesus. You are his feet. You are his hands. You are his words. You are his presence. You are this, the outward manifestation of his inward being in each and every one of you that believe. And you've done wonderful works here. Thank you, brother. Give him a hand for I asked the Lord if he wanted to have an invitation. And he hasn't said that. I had ideas of getting you to come up, pick up the old yoke, throw it down, and then have a couple of prayer team members pray with you. What I'm going to encourage, and I say this with deep love and compassion, if there's anything in your life, in your mind, in your heart, that is connected to that thing there, connected to something you've created, a yoke you've put on yourself, something that you haven't inquired the Lord about, because there's lots of good things you can do. I mentioned lots of good things when I was spinning around, but it was with the yoke I created. I didn't ask the Lord once. I encourage you, over the next little while, take some quiet time. Ask him to reveal to you if there's anything in your life that is old yoke, and embrace the new yoke that Jesus offers that will empower your life. Amen. Abba, Father, thank you for these wonderful people. Thank you for the children of God sitting here who know you and desire for intimacy with you. Thank you for the power and the changes that can happen because of that in the lives of this body of Christ, in this place, in this time, in this city, in this province, in this nation. Shifts can happen because of little things. And we can be the little things that move this world. Thank you for empowerment in your spirit, Lord. Thank you for blessing. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.